honey and how it coats my fingers. Your cunt and how it throbs for me. Your folds and how slick they are. This little bud and how it makes you react. And his fingers glide over my clit. I cry out, tensing up against him. Oh, God, that is just the spot. Vaughn!
I have you.
His tongue swipes over my ear, and then he sucks on my earlobe.
I have all of you. Leave yourself open to me, and I will give you everything I am.
His fingers stroke the sensitive skin hooding my clit, and I nearly come apart in his arms. Everything in me tenses and clenches with sweet anticipation. And when he nips at my skin again, that, combined with the steady, insistent stroke of his fingers on my clit, makes me come hard and fast. I cry out and my mind floods with his satisfaction. He starts to move against me, stroking deep, and I'm brought to another orgasm quickly, his own release following mine. That particular mating was short but sweet.
Should I have taken longer? I can.
I chuckle to myself. No, that was perfect. I'm too tired to even think about moving more than that. He's still seated deep inside me, and I wiggle against him, enjoying the sensation. I'm just happy to touch you, to hear you, to be here with you. Vaughn grazes his knuckles along the line of my jaw.
I feel the same.
I want to know everything about you, I tell him. Even though I'm exhausted and I feel hot and achy, I'm hungry to hear his voice and more than that, his story. Tell me where you came from. His arms tighten around me and he rests his chin on my shoulder.
This is not easy to answer. I have flashes of memory, but when I try to focus, it moves away. It is like a cloud, solid in the distance but turns into smoke when you try to grasp it.
That makes sense. Amy said Rast had a hard time remembering parts of his past, too, and that some struggled with memory more than others. Maybe it'll come back with time.
Perhaps.
He pauses, and images of different places, red deserts and an orange-tinted sky, flicker through my mind. After that, I see buildings made of cool white marble that enclose green gardens, away from the desert itself. But there's an ominous sense to these civilized places, and Vaughn's mind skitters back toward the deserts, which feel more comfortable. They are home to him, I realize. Craggy, desolate cliffs, dunes of sand populated by large lizards and snakes, and roosting atop the cliffs, basking in the sunshine, are other dragons in various shades of gold. The memory fades away again, and a sense of loss returns.
That is the past,
Vaughn tells me, and his thoughts turn back toward me.
It is lost, I think. If there is a way back, I do not know it.
I don't think there is, I tell him gently. I imagine if there was, someone would have found it by now.
I am happier with you.
He buries his face in my hair and breathes deep of my scent.
What of you? Where do you come from?
Here, I guess.
This hive?
Hive? I guess so. We made this place a few years ago after leaving Fort Tulsa. I try not to think about that place because the memories aren't good ones. They're mostly of desperation and bullies, men who wanted sexual favors in exchange for the smallest freedoms, and feelings of despair. I was somewhere else for a while, but it got to be too much and I left. They wanted to strip all women of their freedoms, force us to be dependent on men because we weren't as strong in their eyes. At first, it was just a few small law changes, like not going out in the streets at night. It always starts small, you know. Then by the time you realize what's going on, it's too late. He grunts. After a while, they kept changing more things. A woman who dressed provocatively was just asking to be accosted in the streets. They actually changed the law to say that no man would be blamed for taking what was dangled in front of his face. Bile rises in my throat just thinking about it. After that, they changed more stuff. Women got fewer rations than men unless they had a protector. Women couldn't have their own guns. Women could be traded like cattle. Sometimes a girl would get killed and the law would look the other way because women didn't really count toward the population suddenly. Not really. It kept getting worse and worse until we were more like pets instead of human beings, and we wouldn't be able to survive unless we either whored or found a man as a protector so we could privately whore. That wasn't a choice. I shudder, remembering the abusive, bullying men of Fort Tulsa. Fuck those guys. His grip tightens possessively on me, and I pat his hand before continuing. A few friends and I decided to steal away one night, but when it came time to go, there were 20 of us that wanted to escape. Some had babies, some were beaten so badly they could hardly walk but still wanted to get away. How could I say no? So we left. We took our chances on dragon attacks and just left the night before a scheduled attack so they wouldn't be able to chase us.
Scheduled attack?
He sounds baffled. Yeah. You guys attack in patterns. It took a few weeks for us to figure it out, but granted, we were reeling from the chaos. The Reds attack for several days in a row and then nothing for 3 weeks, while the Golds usually attack every 3 days and then fly off.
Reds? Ah, mating females. They are flushed with the heat of their own fires.
Amy mentioned that, yeah. Would you have been better off with one of them instead of a human mate? I can't help but worry about that, just a little.
Never. Yours is the only scent that called to me out in the madness.
He presses a kiss to my shoulder.
Out of all the humans in this world, yours is the scent I like. Even if a dozen strong Draconi females were in front of me, I would turn to my Gwen. You are all I need.
I love this man. Dragon. Whatever. It no longer matters to me. All that matters is that he's mine. I tuck his arm against my chest so he's hugging me and snuggle against him. I'm glad we're together.
I am glad you finally decided I was worthy.
I feel a twinge of guilt because I know I stalled for forever and a day. You've always been worthy. I just had to be convinced I wasn't going to fuck you up by attaching my life to yours.
Never.
You say that, but I don't have a great track record. Plus, I wanted to make sure you had someone to anchor to save you. I didn't want you going gray-eyed again.
Vaughn stiffens against me. Gray-eyed?
Liam said he'd seen it before. You know what I'm talking about? Darkness and anger descend on his thoughts.
I do. Silurians. The old overlords of my enslaved people.
Yes. I hate that one touched his mind and nearly took him from me. You turned away from me and started walking as if you were going to leave. You said Fort Dallas aloud.
I do not know of any place called that.
I do. I hold him close, trying not to let worry leak into my thoughts. It's another human place. Amy came from there, and she said her sister did too. She said there's a Silurian there. Do you think it was him?
I hope so. I do not like the thought of there being more than one Silurian here in your world. One is bad enough.
He holds me close, pressing his mouth against my skin in an almost kiss.
They can enslave a Draconi male with a touch of the mind. It seems I have been polluted.
Polluted?
Once you have been touched by a Silurian mind, they can retake you at any time, force you to do their bidding.
Anger burns in his thoughts.
Not even this terrible place is safe from their kind. I am surprised he let me go. That is not like them.
He didn't. I kissed you and pulled you back to yourself.
The love of a human mate is stronger than a Silurian's grip. This is interesting.
It's one reason why I didn't want to wait any longer. I won't have anyone take you from me. The thought fills me with terror. Even now, Vaughn might not be safe from them if all it takes is a brush of the mind to attack him from afar. What do we do?
Wherever they want us to go, we do not go there, and we wait for him to strike again. He will try once more, I suspect. When he does, you must do your best to bring me back.
I will. I'm going to watch my dragon like a hawk to make sure he's never alone. I'm going to be on his ass like a barnacle. I hope Amy comes back soon.
The other human mated to a dragon?
Yeah. I need to talk to her about this. I don't like the thought that you're vulnerable. And I'm curious if she knows what's going on back in Fort Dallas. We're not close to it. Fort Dallas to Shreveport's a bit of a stretch. There have to be dozens of dragons between here and there. Why is he trying to drag you back?
I have no answers.
Me either. And I don't like that at all. I'm still feverish and hot with Vaughn's fires when I wake up the next morning. A drink of water, that's what I need. Water and more sleep. I roll out of bed, wrapping a sheet around my body, and stop in surprise. Vaughn's at the window to our room, and he's thrown open the metal shutters and gazes out onto the old playground, where scorch marks still show on the dirt and weeds. My skin prickles when he doesn't turn around to greet me. Vaughn? When he doesn't respond to that, I try to reach out with my mind, though it feels like a weak muscle. There's no answer, no comforting touch of his thoughts to mine. With a gasp, I race to his side and grab his arm, forcing him to turn around and look at me. Vaughn! He blinks, slowly. His eyes are deep, deep gray. I feel sick. This feels something like rape because he's being used and abused against his will. Carefully, I touch his arm. Vaughn, I whisper. Remember me? I've still got his seed on the inside of my thighs. This can't be happening. When there's no answer, I reach up and run my fingers over his lips, lightly caressing them. I try again, this time with a surge of my thoughts. Vaughn, it's me, Gwen, your mate. Come back. The gray remains in his eyes, clouding them over. Fuck. This isn't fair. I don't know what to do. How can I have my mate for less than a day only to lose him again?
Fort Dallas, he says again.
And I know it's not Vaughn. He pronounces things all wrong for it to be Vaughn. The inflections are all wrong. Fort Dallas? I echo. Why Fort Dallas?
Truce.
What truce? What is it? Who are you? There's no answer, and my fear and frustration bubble over. A hot sob catches in my throat, and tears flood down my cheeks. You can't take my mate, I tell the voice. Vaughn is mine. You don't get to have him. I press my forehead to his shoulder, my hands caressing his lower arm, feeling the muscles, the strange softness of his skin that looks like scales, the dangerous spikes that grow out of his arms that he's always careful not to scratch me with. I love every bit of him, and I'll be dead inside if he's gone, if all that's left is this shell. More tears streak down my face, and I sniff loudly. I'm blubbering, and I don't care. Nothing matters without Vaughn. A hand touches my hair. I stiffen, waiting. After a moment's hesitation, the hand strokes down my curls in the same hard, overzealous way that Vaughn always pets me.
Your eyes are sweating,
he says. And to my relief, it's Vaughn's voice in my head. His thoughts curl around my own, and when I raise my gaze to his eyes are swirling black and gold once more. This time I really sob.
My fault,
he tells me.
I forgot to stroke your hair so your eyes would not sweat.
He pulls me close and pushes at my hair so hard, I feel like he's going to leave a bald spot with the force of each big mitt swiping over my hair. What? I manage as he pets my hair.
Your eyes, they sweat. I will help you.
I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't care either. It's you, right?
It is me. Did I leave?
He cups my chin, looking down at me thoughtfully. Your eyes were gray. I choke out. You said Fort Dallas and truce. Why?
I do not remember anything.
He seems disturbed by this.
The Silurian touched my mind again.
When I nod, he pulls me closer.
But you called me back. I heard your voice, felt your eyes sweat on my skin, and felt your distress in your thoughts. It woke me.
All good things to know. I cling to him tightly, hoping I never have to call him back again. Truce, the voice said. What kind of truce, I wonder. And why? Who calls a truce when you can steal all the playing pieces on the board? 38. Gwen. For once, something in our world goes right, and Amy and Rast return the day after next. It's perfect timing because I spend all that time in bed with Vaughn, trying to recover from receiving his fires and making love over and over again with what little energy I do have. I'm not complaining. When Amy and Rast return, though, the fort's a buzz. Amy has bags of toys she's brought for the children, and everyone's excited to see them back, including me. Vaughn and I get some weird looks from people as we emerge from my room, but that's all right, too. Weird looks won't kill anyone, and I'm getting better at tuning out my need to please everyone with Vaughn's mind attached to my own. When a child giggles and points at us, though, I look over at my dragon man and can't help but give a little giggle of my own. He's wearing a pair of cargo shorts because I asked him to, and it's clear he doesn't like them. He holds his junk as he walks, and his steps are a funny waddle. Problem? I ask, trying to smother my laughter behind a hand.
How do human males not get their cock mangled wearing these things? Are they built so small that they do not have problems?
He shifts on one foot, then the other.
I do not like this at all.
I move to his side and pull at his waistband. You were supposed to wear underwear underneath this.
The tight white layers. Ugh, bad enough that I have to wear this.
He scratches at his groin.
It rubs against everything. Better that I have my cock hanging out. We can make all the other females jealous of your mate if I am naked.
He gives me an entreating look. Let's try it my way for a day, I tell him, amused, and take his hand to lead him back to our bedroom. But for now, how about we switch to the wrap instead?
If I must.
We duck back into my room, change clothes, and then head back out. There's a commotion in the main area, and I'm both relieved and worried to see that it's Amy and Rast. The tiny blonde looks as happy as ever, Rast with both of his big hands on her shoulders and glaring at anyone that lingers too long talking to her. Andy and Cass are chatting with her, and when Vaughn and I approach, Amy turns toward us and her polite smile blossoms into a huge one. So it happened, she says, glancing at Vaughn and then back to me. It did, I agree, and squeeze Vaughn's hand.
I have met this one before, this Rast.
Several times, I admit privately to him.
I do not remember.
Yeah, you have had trouble with that in the past. When I was talking to Amy, she said that the insanity shows in different ways in the dragon she's met, and that Rast told her that you didn't retain things. I feel guilty telling him this because it sounds awful, no matter how gently I put it.
Do not feel guilty,
he chides me.
If you are right, then it is a problem I must be aware of.
Until you forget it again, I think, and inwardly wince. He only rumbles with laughter.
That is why I am glad to have you at my side. You can help me remember.
He plays with a lock of my curling hair and glances over at Rast and Amy.
I see he is not being tortured with human clothes.
I chuckle behind my hand. Okay, that's weird, Andy says from nearby, and I look over. She has a little half-smile, half-grimace on her face as she looks at me. You do realize you've been giggling and nodding at yourself for the last minute? Oh. Mental conversation, Amy says. You get used to it. She reaches out and links her arm in mine. Can we go talk out in the courtyard? Rast needs to hunt something for breakfast. And I should probably tell her about the Silurian possession and the whole truce thing. Oh, sure. I reach out to Vaughn with my thoughts, something I'm still getting used to. Are you...
hungry? Yes, I could hunt. Let us go, then. I will be glad to leave this hive, even if it is only for a short while.
And he turns and strides toward the double doors that lead out into the old schoolyard, discarding his hip wrap as he does, and showing the entire fort his charming golden ass.
Vaughn. My mate is quite happy to see you have given your female your fires. She had many worries while we were gone. The other Draconi male, Rast, dips low in the air, skimming between buildings, as he extends his claws and snatches up a racing four-legged animal. I wheel about in the sky, stretching my wings and picking up scents as the other male flies upward, perches atop a building, and begins to devour his kill. My Gwen is happy to have you return. I think she has many questions for your mate. They will talk to each other until they are exhausted, he agrees. You should hunt while you can. If I know my Amy, she will sit with your mate for as long as necessary. She has a very kind heart, my mate. I fly overhead, where I left my Gwen sitting with the other female. Sure enough, they are still seated on a small bench out in the courtyard, surrounded by pots of greenery. They chat in low voices, and the constant flick of mental images I get from my mate tell me that they are talking of the human hive and the people there. Rast is right. They will probably be discussing this a while. I send my mate loving thoughts, even as I soar higher, following the scent of game. This close to the hive, it is difficult to pick out scents. You get used to it, Rast tells me as he feeds. The human stench becomes less overpowering with time. If I focus on Amy, it makes it easier to tolerate the scents of others. Up ahead, a creature darts out from between metal carcasses, and I swoop low to grab it. Have you ever lost control around the humans? Attacked them with your mate there? The memories I have are filled with fire and ash, and the screams of humans. I do not like to think about those things. I feel no remorse, but I do not remember these times at all. It is almost as if that Dracony was someone else, and I have woken up with his mind and only fragments of his memories. It is the madness, Rast agrees. It has eaten holes into our minds and spirits. This human world does not welcome our kind. Does it get better? I ask, rising up to settle on a building with my bleating, flailing prey in my claws. The memories? Not yet. I think some of them will always be gone. Do you remember where you came from? Our world? I remember sand and Solorians. His mind fills with distaste. As do I. Perhaps it is best to not remember, I think, hating the memories of Solorians that leak through my thoughts. I remember males in white robes that look like Dracony but do not act as we do. Their scales are paler, and their minds cruel. I remember being enslaved by them. I remember waking up in chains, being starved until I gave in to their mind control and let them in. I remember being their puppet, and hate flows through my mind. Distantly, I hear thunder and can feel the ominous change in the air, as if a storm is moving in. The skies grow dark.
Vaughn?
Gwen's sweet thoughts pierce through the darkness of my own, and I look up. There is no storm. The skies are blue. Irritated at my own volatility, I tear into my food. I am here, I tell her. I am ashamed at how quickly I nearly sank back into madness, and I do not want to scare her. Not when our bond is so new. I distract her instead. What is this creature? She focuses on the mental image I send her. Deer. A buck, specifically. Look out for the horns, she tells me with a sigh, moments after I crunch into them. They taste good. I can feel her wrinkle her nose.
If you say so.
She is adorable, my mate. My thoughts easing, I settle into my food. Across from me, atop another building, Rast licks his claws and then heads into the air again, his mind skating past my own thoughts in a comfortable greeting, an acknowledgement of each other. It is that simple mind touch of one another that I have missed out on so badly. Every mind I tried to touch before, to connect with, only fueled my own madness. I understand, Rast tells me, even as he flies farther away, looking for more deer. Something here in this world has splintered our people. We were too dependent on communication by mind, and it has ruined us. His thoughts shift. There are more of the brown creatures here if you are still hungry. I am. I finish my meal, and then extend my wings, leaping off the building and taking flight. This is oddly comfortable, and reminds me of hunting with old friends and battle companions. Other faces and minds flash through my memories, as quickly gone as they arrived. I think Rast is right. Our minds do not work the same here, and because we are splintered instead of connected, we have all gone mad from it. Have you met the blank one? Rast asks, as I circle closer, riding an air current over to his side. Idly, I touch at Gwen's mind to check on her, and find her deep in conversation with Rast's mate still. They discuss babies and forts. Rast's mate's sister is with Young, and it fills Gwen with joy and wonder. I bask in her feelings, then focus in on prey, content that my mate is safe and happy. The faint scent trails of more deer touch my nose, and I find a nearby building and perch atop a ledge, waiting for Rast to flush out the prey. The blank one? The one that took a human name and dresses in human coverings. Ah, I have seen him. There is nothing there when I try to speak to him, Rast sends. He feels entirely human, but he looks as we do. I do not trust it. The others tolerate him. As long as he does not touch my mate, I do not care if he stays or goes. I felt no malice in him, only envy when he looked at me.
He did what he had to do to survive, remember?
Gwen tells me, chiming into my thoughts. I am pleased she is listening in.
Well, you're pretty loud, she sends back. I'm still not good at filtering things. It makes conversation difficult, but Amy says I'll get better with time.
Her thoughts are amused and full of affection.
As for Liam, I think he's got designs on Andrea.
Her mind flashes with the yellow-haired human female.
So you don't have to worry about him.
Worry about him? Over what?
Poaching your mate, she guesses.
Never. You are covered in my scent. Your blood sings with my fires. No male would dare touch another male's mate. Your scent is mine. You belong to me.
We can belong to each other, she tells me primly. I told Amy about your problem, by the way.
My problem? Rast descends upon the trees, and I watch as the deer scatter in different directions. There are four of them, scrambling to get away on spindly legs as they dart through the underbrush. One fat one heads off away from the others, and Rast sends me an indication that it is mine, so I rise from my perch and swoop down after it.
With the Silurian and the mind control. Fort Dallas.
I do not like to think about it. It makes the storms gather at the back of my mind.
She is worried. She says she visited her sister and Fort Dallas is full of dragons. They don't leave. They just wait there. She says it's not right. Something is wrong there.
There is a Silurian there, I tell her, as I tear the head off my newest kill. Fresh, hot blood pours down my throat, and I seek out the horns once more. I like their crunch. That is what is wrong there.
Yes, but what is he doing? And why does he want a truce? Amy thinks we should visit her sister and the others with, tamed dragons, and discuss. Meeting of minds and all that.
Her thoughts grow distressed, and then speed up.
By the way, when I say tamed, I don't mean tamed like a kitten. I just mean...
not insane.
Yeah.
She sounds depressed. Do not be sad. I was insane until I met you. The only reason I have been able to function without my mind lost in the storm is because of your scent, and now your mind in mine. You have saved me.
No one's saving anyone. We're a team.
We are. What do you want to do, then? She hesitates.
I don't think it could hurt to visit Amy and her sister. Meet the others. Discuss things. You can talk Draconi to Draconi. Maybe learn something you've forgotten. And I can talk Dragon Rider to Dragon Rider.
Dragon Rider? Her thoughts are full of amusement once more.
Yeah, that's another thing. I'm gonna need a saddle, because you're about to be ridden hard, and not in a sexy way.
We can do it in a sexy way, too, I tell her agreeably, and like it when I can feel her blush.
39. 1 week later. Gwen. For a sweet, delicate thing, Amy must have an ass of absolute steel. How she manages to stay in her saddle for hours and not waddle when she gets down is a mystery to me. Me, I'm not handling it nearly as well as she is. By the time we get close to the ruins of the old Metroplex, my butt feels chafed 3 ways to Sunday and I'm grimacing each time Vaughn shifts his weight.
I will soothe it for you later,
my dragon sends.
Much rubbing and licking, I promise.
Dude, you can't tell a girl you're going to lick her ass. I can feel the heat creeping up my face despite my wide-brimmed hat and sunglasses.
Why not? Pleasant for you, pleasant for me.
You're impossible.
I might be, but I am yours.
He agrees with a teasing tone that promises that I'm going to get an ass-licking tonight no matter how much it makes me blush. And he's going to make sure I enjoy every moment of it. Being with Vaughn for the last week has been a bit of an adjustment, but a fun one. Now that we can speak readily, I'm learning that he's got a playful sense of humor, especially when it comes to teasing me. He's smart and stoic, and 10 times more protective than I ever thought. I'm 10 times more in love than I ever thought, too. There's just something about being with him that feels like all the pieces in my world fell into place, that my happy ever after is just within reach, that everything is going to be all right. Even my ass.
I will make sure it is.
I chuckle and lean forward to caress the scales on his neck, my other hand tight on the reins. Amy helped me rig a saddle, and I'm strapped in like I'm riding a roller coaster. But it still feels unsafe. Riding dragonback's definitely going to take some getting used to.
I would never let you fall.
Let's not test that theory either way, I tell him cheerfully, holding the reins a little tighter. They're not to steer him, as if I could steer someone so big. With our mental communication, guide reins just aren't necessary for travel. They're so my hands have something to hold on to, which is good, because I'm so nervous that I need something to fiddle with.
Why are you nervous?
Vaughn seems genuinely puzzled as he wheels about in the sky. Up ahead, Rast's big golden body soars through the clouds, then angles steadily downward. The butterflies in my stomach turn into eagles, because I think that means we're approaching our destination. We've been surrounded by the wreckage of building after building, highway after highway, but now there's a cluster of skyscrapers, which indicate we've reached the downtown area of Old Dallas. Somewhere in there is Amy's sister Claudia, and the skyscraper she lives in with her dragon. This feels a bit like going to a family reunion where everyone in the family already knows each other except me.
Do their opinions matter?
They shouldn't, I admit, but they do.
You are mated to me. That alone proves that you are special. And if they do not think so, I shall rend them limb from limb.
I gasp, shocked.
It was a jest.
Amusement floods his thoughts.
You truly think I would?
Hello, you're a bloodthirsty dragon, why wouldn't I?
Draconi, and I would not. They are the mates of others of my kind. I care nothing for them one way or another. Rending takes too much effort. I would simply ignore them.
I snort because having an inside track to Vaughn's mind has shown me one thing this week. I might as well be the only woman who exists when it comes to him. Another could walk past him dressed in the sexiest lingerie, shaking her hips, and he would only focus on me. As for Amy, he has zero perception of her save as Rast's mate. Literally, when he thinks of her, Rast is always tied in, as if they're no longer two people in his mind but just one entity. It's interesting, and it makes me realize just how deeply ingrained the mating bond is in his people. There are no draconi divorces, no draconi breakups, no draconi cheating. That stuff just does not exist to him. He can't comprehend it. For all of their savagery, there's a lot to love about the draconi, too. It's clear that they're a simpler people, without all the technology and civilization that humans have, and all the problems that come with civilization, too. From what I can tell of Vaughn's fractured memories, they lived in small, isolated family groups in the deserts, and prized independence and hunting prowess very highly. Loyalty is ingrained in who they are, and so is determination. Too bad all humans aren't like that.
Rast says we approach,
Vaughn tells me.
I promise not to rend anyone without your permission.
His thoughts are half amused, half wary, as if he's not sure that I realize he was joking either. I send him a wave of affection and love through my thoughts, which makes me think of his promise of the butt massage and licking. Hopefully we have a private room tonight, because if there's one thing mating Draconi are not, it's quiet or shy.
I do not care if it is private or not. I will still claim your cunt and make you cry my name. Let them hear me pleasure my mate so greatly that she screams.
Pride is in his thoughts.
They can listen to me lick up every...
Okay, okay. Now I'm really freaking blushing. The dragon's deep chest rumbles with amusement, and I can feel it under my thighs where I sit astride his shoulders. At least I'm distracted, though. I'm still working on hiding my blushing thoughts from my dragon man as we descend, and then before I realize where we are, Vaughn's alighting on a broken ledge and bounds into the room. The half-trashed skyscraper has skeletal metal framework sticking up between the concrete flooring, but all the broken glass has been cleared away, and there are potted plants growing on ledges and bright yellow curtains fluttering in the breeze. Off in the open air, there's a cute patio set, and a sofa is hidden under an overhanging wall that keeps it protected from weather. As I look around, I notice a pregnant woman with bright red hair gets up to her feet and puts a hand under her belly as she waddles forward. Up above her, a big golden dragon, maybe the biggest I've seen, watches us with whirling eyes.
"That is Kyle," Vaughn tells me. "He sends us greetings and asks you to sit with his mate and to make sure she gets off her feet. He says she is bad at listening."
I grin at that and start to unbuckle straps. I can do that. I'm not going to be able to stand much myself.
"Because your ass needs licking. I will not forget."
"You are the worst," I tell him, biting back my laughter. Another dragon settles in on the ledge between Vaughn and Kyle, and Rast gives a full body yawn before he lowers his shoulders and Amy slides to the ground next to him. Somehow we got ahead of Rast and Amy, but that's all right. Seems like we're all here now. And, as if he's done this a million times, Rast reaches over and plucks her off the concrete by her backpack and settles her on the floor below. Amy limps forward, throwing her arms wide as she approaches her sister.
"Claudia."
"Hello again," the redhead calls, laughing, and embraces her sister. I dismount clumsily and rub my butt, peering over the ledge. The dragons all landed in the flat area, which is a floor above Claudia's living quarters. I look over at Vaughn and he reaches out, wrapping his claws around me, and gently places me on the floor below.
"Thank you,"
I tell him, and then smile a nervous greeting at the sisters. "Hi, I'm Gwen." Claudia gives me a warm smile and extends her arms so she can hug me too.
"From Fort Shreveport! Welcome to our weird little family. Amy's told me so much about you."
"That's terrifying," I tell her with a little smile to take the truth out of my words and make them teasing.
"No judgment here,"
Claudia says, patting my back.
"We all do what we must to survive.
It's good to meet you, though. Sasha and Emma will be along shortly. Can I interest you in some coffee?" I put a hand over my heart.
"You have coffee?"
"Yes, and I can't drink it," she tells me, patting her stomach. No clue on how a half-draconi baby will react to caffeine, so I avoid it. But if I make some for you guys, I can at least enjoy the smell.
"Then yes, I would love some."
It doesn't matter that it's going to be another blisteringly hot day. You don't turn down coffee.
"Your house is cute."
She smiles absently as she waddles over to her campfire stove.
"Thank you. Scavenging is a hell of a lot easier with a dragon."
Up above, Kyle rumbles, and Claudia waves a hand in the air, dismissing his irritation.
"I'll sit down in a minute. Hold your horses."
I move swiftly to her side and take the percolating coffee pot from her hands.
"Why don't you sit and tell me what to do and I can handle it?"
"Not you two," she grumbles, but she moves to sit next to Amy at the table. One hand rubs over her belly.
"You'd think no one has ever had a half-draconi baby before."
"Have they?"
Amy prompts.
"Hell if I know."
Claudia sighs and rubs her belly again. "How far along are you?" I ask as I scoop ground coffee into the coffee pot.
That is a really great question, and one I wish I had the answer to, Claudia says, lifting one foot and placing it on a chair. Problem is, I don't know a Draconis gestation time, and it's not something Kyle has an answer to. But I will say that my belly's gotten huge in the last week or so. Either I'm having twins, or I'm close. I set the coffee atop the wood stove and turn just in time to see Amy grow pale. Twins? Claudia shakes her head. I don't think it's twins. I think I'm just fat with one baby. Up above her, Kyle rumbles again and Claudia smiles. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Once upon a time, hearing only half the conversation would have bothered me. But that was before I got my own connection with Vaughn. I get it now, and I don't ask questions. It's hard to keep track of if you're speaking aloud or silent when you're answering your dragon, so I don't pry. I just smile and sit back down next to Amy. Have you thought of names? Not yet. Right now, we're just hoping for healthy. She crosses her fingers.
Another is coming,
Vaughn tells me. A split second later, Amy and Claudia exchange looks.
Sasha, Claudia says,
and Doc. They just passed over Zora and Emma, too. Passed over? You'll see, Amy says. And then everyone's distracted with the landing and arrival of another dragon. The next hour is pretty much chaos. At least, that's what it feels like to me. 5 dragons hang out on the rocky concrete perch that used to be the top floor of Claudia's building, and the women sit around Claudia's coffee table and chat. It's clear that they all know each other, and I'm the outsider. So I get quiet and just listen as they chatter. Sasha's a beautiful woman with lovely eyes and unique coloring that makes me wonder if she's mixed like me. She's also pregnant, but not nearly as big as Claudia. Emma is a gorgeous Latina who's friendly and chatty, though it's clear she's not happy about this meeting. Their arrival is somewhat of a surprise to me because instead of flying in like the others, Zora arrives from below, having used his claws to climb up the side of the building. His wings are heavily scarred and torn, though Emma reassures everyone that they're getting better every day. It's obvious she's very protective of her dragon, though it doesn't explain why she's practically bristling at this meeting. At first, I think it's my presence, but when we talk, she's as sweet and friendly as the others. It's soft, sweet Amy that brings up the elephant in the room as we sit down with cups of heavenly coffee, while Claudia, Emma, and Sasha drink water.
So, Emma, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you seem agitated.
Amiga, of course I'm agitated. That mind spider's prowling around again, and Zora's vulnerable to him. I don't want him coming after my man. Zora suffered enough at his hands. She crosses her arms over her chest, her full mouth drawn into a frown. I wonder at the suffering she mentions.
Wings,
Vaughn says.
The others say it's because of the Silurian that his wings are shredded. He was held captive until she freed him.
I shudder, because Zor's wings look scarred and thick compared to the delicate, graceful beauty of Vaughn's sails. Wings are so damn important to a dragon. Emma's sharp gaze notices my reaction.
They said you had a brush with him, too?
Yeah, I admit, and tell them about how Vaughn's eyes went gray and he turned toward the west, how he spoke Fort Dallas aloud. The second time the Silurian came after him and the whole truce thing. Emma looks half sick and half angry. The others just look worried. It sounds like this can happen again at any time, which makes me worry over Vaughn. If the Silurian guy can reach all the way to Louisiana, how far do we have to be to get out of his range? Tennessee? Canada? And how do we know there's not more Silurians lurking around? Sasha adds quietly, casting a worried look at Claudia. We don't, Claudia admits, rubbing a hand over her big belly. It's a problem. That pendejo is trying to pull my man in, and I don't like it. Emma crosses her arms over her chest. This is a problem that's gone on for too long. Even when we're far away, Zor says he can feel him brushing against his thoughts. I have to watch him while he sleeps to make sure he doesn't get attacked in dreams again. In dreams? He can come after Vaughn in dreams? My stomach clenches sickeningly at the thought. So, what do we do? Do we take him out? Amy asks, fiddling with a lock of her blonde hair. I'm surprised to hear it, but I'm even more surprised when no one vetoes the idea. Instead, the others look thoughtful.
How do we do it, though?
Sasha asks.
Are we absolutely sure he's evil?
I can't help but throw out there. Is it possible we're just misunderstanding him? The other four women just stare at me. I feel stupid.
Right, evil, okay.
Amy reaches over and squeezes my hand.
You have a good heart, Gwen, but trust me when I say this guy is awful and you never want to meet him, ever.
They are right, Gwen. There is no good in a Silurian. They are taught from birth that Draconi are not people but things to be used. They will kill and destroy on a whim. They will take your mind without a thought. They are pure evil.
I'm sorry. I just had to ask, you know. I've made bad decisions when I was desperate, too. I think of my stupid, stupid choice to let the Brothers of Ash into the fort, and then all the stupid decisions I had to make after that just because I was cornered.
That is different,
my dragon tells me.
You are not the same as them. Trust me.
Even if we wanted to take Azar out, I don't know how we'd get to the fort. It's covered in dragons. They're all possessed, all lurking over the fort itself like gargoyles.
Emma drums her fingers on the tabletop.
There's no way to get close. How many can he possess at once? I ask, curious.
Hundreds,
Vaughn answers me, and that's a depressing thought. Judging from the worried looks on the others' faces, they don't like the answers they're getting either.
I'm worried about the people in the fort, Claudia admits. The ones that don't have a choice about staying. I know the fort's a cesspool, but there are women and kids there. Women and kids that are forced to depend on others to survive. I don't even want to think about what the militia's like under someone like Azar.
I shudder, hugging my arms over my chest at my own memories of being in a fort. All you need is the one asshole in power to make everyone's lives miserable. And it seems like forts breed those.
I'm more concerned about the fact that he's acquired so many dragons, Amy says. He's building an army. We're not safe, Noah is.
He's definitely planning something.
Sasha looks worried, her voice soft.
But what?
Whatever it is, it can't be good. Emma drums her fingers again. Her head tilts, and then she slides her hand off her table and into her lap, glancing at her dragon.
Maybe we should try to talk to him?
I wince even as I suggested, expecting the others to shoot down my idea. When no one does, I get a little braver. If he was amassing an army, I would think he'd rob and pillage a bit more. Has he been attacking the countryside, taking more land for himself, increasing his borders?
Claudia looks thoughtful, her hands smoothing down her belly over and over again, absently.
No. They just stick to the fort's walls. They don't venture out except to hunt. Kyle and I have watched them for days. It's always the same thing. Hunting, then guarding the fort. That's it. Nothing else.
Emma adds, Zora and I went to Fort Orleans, too. Check the area out. It's quiet, no roosting dragons. Whatever's going on, it's in Fort Dallas.
Huh. Sounds more like he's defending against something to me.
Emma bites her nails, agitated.
What the hell scares a Silurian, though?
That's the question I think we need answered, I admit. Maybe he knows something we don't. Maybe there's a bigger problem that we all need to be aware of. The table is silent.
I think you have frightened them,
Vaughn tells me.
I grimace. I'm just trying to think things through. Try to understand why someone needs so many dragons. There are only so many logical answers.
He needs an army,
Vaughn insists.
An army for what, though? What does he want? Land? There's tons of it just lying around.
Defense from other dragons? All he has to do is send them away with a thought.
There's something here we're not thinking of, and that's what worries me the most.
I glance around the table and the others are silent, their attention turned inward, and it's clear we're all having discussions with our dragons. After a long moment, Amy sighs.
I hate to say it, but now I feel like we need to know what he's doing.
Claudia nods at her. Best to know up front what's going on. If he attacks us, we know it's nothing good.
This is dangerous,
Vaughn tells me, growling his disapproval.
It is, I agree. But don't you think it needs to be done?
Otherwise, you're not safe no matter where you go. You heard Emma. She watches Zor in his sleep because he was possessed in it once. Do I need to watch you sleep for the rest of my life? Or do we talk to this asshole and try to come to a truce?
Vaughn's thoughts are openly skeptical. Silurians do not deal with anyone else. They consider themselves the law.
That may be true, but the rules are different here. This is a whole different world. I can't help but wonder why he's hiding out in a fort. Maybe he's pissed off the wrong people. Maybe there's more Silurians than we thought. Maybe there's an entirely new problem. At any rate, we have an invitation, and we'd be better off knowing the evil so we can fight it instead of guessing at it. His growl turns to reluctant agreement.
Either you are too persuasive, or I'm a fool for agreeing with you.
You can be both, I tease him. To the others, I say, so how should we handle this? We can't all go. Claudia murmurs and takes a sip of her water. That'll look like a show of force.
We're not all going anyhow.
Emma flattens her hand on the table, her expression firm.
I love you guys, I do. But I love my Zor more. He suffered enough at that one's hands. I have no desire to see that Silurian pendejo ever again. Zor is not getting anywhere near that fort.
Sasha bites her lip. Doc doesn't want me to go. She touches her rounded stomach.
Claudia snorts. I think your dragon's talking to mine.
Both of you are pregnant, Amy says with a little shake of her head. I'll go.
Emma raises a finger.
Three of us, actually. I'm pregnant, too. Not that it matters, because we're not going anywhere near that fort.
Then it should be me, Amy says again.
No,
Claudia protests.
You can't. This is a bad idea for everyone.
She looks around the table, wanting support. I agree with Claudia. I look over at Amy. You're needed to run Fort Shreveport. Vaughn and I will go. The moment I say it, I know Vaughn supports me. He isn't thrilled about the idea, but his thoughts are as mine. Amy is needed. Claudia and Sasha and Emma are pregnant. Zor's too compromised.
I have been compromised too, but I cannot let you go alone.
Amy shakes her head, staring at me.
You can't. You said yourself that Vaughn has been possessed too.
Yes, but I'm able to bring him back. I tell them. I've done it twice now. Emma purses her lips.
It's different the closer you are to a Silurian.
She drums her fingers on the table again, then picks up her hand, as if realizing that she's fidgeting.
You'll need to be really careful.
Amy looks worried.
What if you can't pull Vaughn back?
Then nothing will matter anymore anyhow, I say softly. I don't have to explain. I can tell from the knowing looks in their eyes that they understand exactly what I mean. If I lose my dragon, I lose everything. I won't care about going on at that point.
I will not let anyone harm you,
Vaughn tells me.
Ever. I will die first.
I hope we don't come to that.
40. Vaughn. Gwen wishes to leave right away, but I refuse. She is tired after so much travel and needs a night to rest and recover before we fly into the Silurian's lair. Myself, I want a night to hold my mate close in case tomorrow goes as badly as I think it will. So the females talk late into the night, speaking of plans and forts and bellies heavy with child. Gwen likes the others, so I am happy to see her animated and talking with the females. I like her laugh, even if it is not for me. The Draconi are quieter, more content to listen to our mates than converse amongst ourselves. We talked briefly of our homeland, but when it became evident that we have lost more than we remember, it sours the mood, and we fall silent once more. I am luckier than both Doc and Kyle, I think. I am not nearly as crazed as those two, but not as clear as Rast, who remembers a great deal but shares little. It is just as well. The more I remember, the more I think I am lucky to have forgotten. Eventually, the females yawn as they speak, and I gather up my Gwen and take her away to the privacy of a nearby rooftop. She wraps a thin blanket around her shoulders and pats the hard concrete, inviting me to sit next to her. "I will shift," I tell her, as I tuck her close to my scales, "but only for a mating. I would rather be in battle form throughout the night to protect you."
"We're safe out here, aren't we?"
I do not have an answer for that. I do not know if anything is safe with a Solorian so close by, so I simply shift to my two-legged form and pull her against me, clawing at her clothes. Gwen laughs, the sound so achingly sweet that it tears through me.
"You're not going to leave me with anything to wear if you keep this up."
"My plan is working," I rumble. "Soon you will be naked all the time, as it should be." She snorts, but her hands are moving over my shoulders and down my chest, and it is clear my mate is as eager to touch me as I am to touch her. I kiss her hard and then pull her under me. Her legs go around my waist, and I wonder if we are going to mate face to face again, as we did last night.
"Does it bother you?" she asks between kisses. "Making love like that?"
"No, I like it. I like gazing into your eyes when I am deep inside you." Gwen gives a little shiver, and her arousal floods the air. I groan at the scent of it, and do my best to remove her leg coverings without shredding them. She chuckles at my fumbling and helps me, and then her cunt is exposed to my view, the dark curls musky with her scent. I kneel before her, lured by her beauty. I bury my face there, hungry to taste her. Gwen gasps. Her hands go to my hair, and she slides to the hard concrete as I move between her legs and dip my head. I drag my tongue over her cunt, lapping up her sweet desire. She has been my mate for almost a week now, and every time I touch her, I feel as full of urgency as I did the first time. I want to take my time, to go slow and tender, but my need is too great. I plunge my tongue deep into her cunt, fucking her with it, even as my thumb finds her clit. All of my claws are gone now, because it means I can touch her without fear of harming her. Another Draconi male without a human mate might not understand such a thing. Loss of claws is a shameful thing. But when I sat atop my perch this night, I saw several of the other Draconi males had removed their claws. A mate comes first. Her pleasure is greater than honor in a world I have long since forgotten. With a cry, Gwen shudders against me, her body racked with shivers. She trembles the closer she gets to her climax. And next time, I tell myself as I swipe my tongue over her folds, next time we will go slow. Tonight, I must have her. I push her thighs apart, and she whimpers encouragement, her arms going around my neck.
"Yes," she tells me. "Please, now."
With one deep stroke, I pierce her body with mine, and her loud cry of pleasure carries on the wind. Frantic, she digs her tiny claws into my shoulders and pants words of encouragement as I pump into her. There is a desperate edge to our mating, and I take her with ferocity. She claws and bites my shoulder, screaming out her release. When her cunt ripples and tightens around my cock, my own climax tears through me with enough force that both of us collapse, panting, on the makeshift nest. "Next time," I promise her. "Next time we will go slow."
"As long as you promise me there will be a next time," she tells me breathlessly.
"There must be. I refuse to think of any other outcome." We leave the next morning, and the weather is bright and clear. My mate is too nervous to eat a meal and spends her time fussing with the straps on the saddle and the gun she has at her waist. She says the gun isn't for dragons, but for emergencies. I worry what kind of emergency she's envisioning,
but most of the mental images I pick from her mind involve her feeding the gun into her own mouth.